You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Cheer a superstar.
And that one's deep. Right center. Christian Yelich has tied it up. You are Locked On Brewers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Larson. Find me on Twitter at Cheesehead Talks with an S, also at Locked On Brewers, and the Facebook page, facebook.com/Locked On Brewers as well. Hope you're having a good week. Wherever you might be, if you're in quarantine or if you're dealing with whatever, your kids at home, you're just yourself at home, whatever the case may be, it's getting to be now to the point where it's bothering me. it's kind of a change of pace for a while. And again, all this goes to without saying that hope you're safe, hope you're feeling okay, and that you're staying as safe as possible during all of this, because it's, as we all know, crazy times. And we're just dealing with it, but my kids are driving me nuts. So with that, we'll move on to talk about memories. I have a specific season that makes me all warm and fuzzy inside. And it's not the one that comes up a lot. It's not a Brewer season that comes up a lot. But it was a pretty damn good Brewer season. And it was on a desert. It was in the middle of a desert of bad seasons for the Brewers. For a long stretch there. The year was 1992. Ben Larson was 13 up in Rice Lake, listening to Bob Uecker and Pat Hughes on the radio. The Brewers won 92 games. Later that year, Brett Favre would make his debut with the Packers. This is how far back we're going here. But it was an incredible year. It was the last year that Yount, Gantner, and Mulder would play on the same team together. Paul Mulder would leave for free agency the year after, in 1993, and go win a World Series with the Toronto Blue Jays. But the Brewers put on a special run that year, and unfortunately, like 1987, it fell short of the playoffs. But it was a lot of fun. It was a fun ride, and it was the last good taste of baseball in your mouth for years, for over a decade, before the Brewers would even approach and get to 500 again. What was it? I'm trying to remember the season now. Was it 05, 06? I can't even remember because, of course, 08 and then 11, and then the seasons that have followed since have been better for the Brewers. But 1992 was a fun year. It holds a very special place in my heart because it was really the year that I got intense about listening to the Brewers and following them game by game, every game, and following the whole story of the team. And it was great fun. It was I'll never forget it. It was the year, the one summer that I listened to Bob Uecker and Pat Hughes religiously. I think I did it most summers, but this one, of course, was the last one of my youth, so to speak, where they were in it till the end. For the rest of the 90s, I would, lose interest by the time August, September rolled around because they were just not a very good baseball team. So now, this 92 season, they were in contention till the last weekend and 92 wins, and it does still rank as one of the top seasons in Brewers history. So we'll talk about it next with Dr. Scott. Talk about the analytics behind it. The stolen bases. Remember that? Pat Listash, the whole team. He was rookie of the year, but the whole team was stealing bases left and right. They're playing aggressive baseball. It was just a lot of fun. So we'll talk about it, discuss the analytics of it next with Dr. Scott as he joins us with Brewers Analytics Memories. That's next. You're Locked On Brewers. Well, we live in a time when Postmates is just even more crucial, right? It's just a service you want to take advantage of. What is Postmates? They deliver. They deliver. I mean, think about it. You're stuck. You're holed up. You can't get out. The governor said stay at home. You could be arrested. Okay, I'm not going to go that far. But the point is they deliver. And the whole point about it is don't get coronavirus, right? So check out Postmates. There's an app. You've got stores, restaurants. The restaurants need your help. Go to Postmates. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start, free deliveries, download the app, use code LOCKDOWN. That's code LOCKDOWN for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmate app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. Check it out. Dr. Scott comes to us as well remotely, like always. That's not because of the virus, because he's you know, he's out of state. Does it sound good?
I don't know. It reflective of the times, maybe.
I'll tell you what I could deal with right now. Remoting my kids. Okay, let's just be honest. All right, I love them. I know that when they're gone, I'll miss them. But let me tell you something about when I'll miss them. Like 5 or 6 hours after they're gone, because I could use 5 or 6 hours. Okay.
You just have to build you know, underground tunnels that shoot them to entertainment destinations.
I mean, you're a psychologist or what are you?
Psychiatrist.
Psychiatrist. You're a psychiatrist. Yeah. What's the difference? I don't want to get into it. You're a psychiatrist. And so I'm sure you're judging me, but I could use some time away from my kids. I'm just saying.
No, if I was a psychologist, I'd probably judge you a little bit more. They're the ones who are the talk therapists. Psychiatrists are the MDs who prescribe the medicine. So I'm kind of just scanning you for, I'm trying to figure out if you need inpatient hospitalization or not.
What are you going to send me? Tell me what I need. All right. Enough about the drugs I need because of my kids. Let's talk about the 92 Brewers. By the way, Dr. Scott Borgenhagen is a psychiatrist and a Brewers analytics genius, sabermetrics genius. He joined us here on Lockdown Brewers. You can find him on Twitter at brew_maths or website is brewmaths.com. And we're taking some historic seasons and looking at the analytics. And 1992, besides being, and I'll tell you this right now, it's my sentimental favorite, okay? Look, we've all been through the recent seasons in the last 15 years, which have been, you know, some really good seasons, some great memories, and I'm right there with you. And I don't know if I'm sure I would pick 2018, for instance. I love that team. I love that run.
We did mine. Mine was 87. Team that made me fall in love with the crew. So
yeah, but that,
I guess it's your turn.
Yeah, to that point, right? The team that made me fall in love with the crew. And I'd been paying attention to the Brewers for a couple of years before, but in 1992, I was, 12, 13 years old. And I really listened to every game. Now, this is back in the day. You know, it's not that long ago, but it's back in the day when there was no TV, especially outstate, as it were, which I definitely was, because Milwaukee was like a foreign country, you know, in northwestern Wisconsin. We got all our news from Minneapolis. We were heavily influenced by the, you know, terrible Twin Cities.
I grew up in Sussex, which was 20 minutes away, and Milwaukee felt like it was a world away. So
yeah, exactly.
I feel you.
So there were like 3 games on TV the whole year. You know, it was nothing, right? And so just me. And the nice thing what the Brewers did and the Brewers have to this day is a solid, robust, let me say, radio network where Bob Uecker, you know, is on the radio across the entire state of Wisconsin, and Rice Lake to this day, of course, has the Brewers on every day. They don't have the Twins on, they have the Brewers on, and you can hear them, and it's great. And so I listened to every Brewer game. I would go out in the backyard. This is going to be like 15 minutes of just me talking about my memory, so I'll get to you, Scott.
This is good stuff. We want to all hear this.
I would go out in the backyard with my boombox radio, and I would you know, shoot hoops. I would hit baseballs around the yard, go chase them, throw them back. I spent my evenings doing this and listening to Bob Uecker and Pat Hughes. What a team! Bob Uecker and Pat Hughes calling Brewer baseball. You know, Hughes had 3 innings a game, no matter why he left. No wonder why he left, I should say. You know, go to the Cubs. But because he's unbelievably good. And Bob Uecker, of course, is Bob Uecker. And it was just, it's such
legend.
Warm memories for me. I mean, it's the season that I, you know, became a diehard Brewer fan. And of course, they had to hook me that year because they sucked for the next 12 years or whatever it was.
2008
they were terrible.
Was the...
you know, they started to become good again, what, 04, 05, but it was bad. So anyway, they hooked me in 92, and I loved it. And there's so many good memories from that season. B.J. Surhoff, Grand Slam to win Game 2. Game 2 on a cold night in Milwaukee.
Against who?
Stadium. The Twins.
Yes.
You know, the defending champions at that point, if you remember. They won the World Series in 91. So you had that. You had Scotty Fletcher coming through with some clutch hits all over the place. Grand slam home runs to win games. The rare home runs of the Brewers hit.
They beat the White Sox in a home run. I have a stat for you on that. Scotty Fletcher had a clutch score that year, a 1.47. If you look at the clutch metric, 1.47. Arcia led the team last year with 0.61. Only five players in all of Major League Baseball had a clutch score higher than Scott Fletcher did in 1992 last year. So,
yeah, I mean, Scott Fletcher, I mean, again, it's crazy. And I shouldn't say nobody. I'm sure a lot of people don't remember Scott Fletcher.
15-year career, one with the Brewers.
One with the Brewers, and he was fantastic. He hit 275, the clutch hits like you mentioned. I mean, he was really good playing second base predominantly.
You combine that clutch score, too, with the fact that he only struck out 7.6% of the time. I mean, the guy was an animal at the plate. I don't know how to explain it any other way.
Yeah, except that in today's world, that'd be like, well, you're not trying hard enough. You're only striking out 7.6% of the time. You're not that great. But, you know, everything went right for the – well, not everything. It never always goes right, but so much went right for the Brewers that year.
It was a year of extremes.
It was.
I would say, ups and downs.
It was because they were very mediocre in the first half of the season, it seemed like. And then they had this blistering – I think they had a really good June. And
mediocre
then they really
with a lot of big wins and a lot of big losses.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, let's get into a little bit. We're kind of just riffing on it, but I wanted to analytically get into it. I think a couple things jump out, Dr. Scott. One is the amount of home runs they hit, and the other is the amount of stolen bases this team had. Remember, it was
perfect.
Phil Garner's first season as manager. Old scrap iron. They love the
Phil Garner,
use that
Bill
phrase.
Castro, Duffy Dyer, Tim Foley. Yep.
It was great. So let's start there with the stolen bases, because here's an American League team who was running up, you know, burning up the base paths. It was rare even then, even when stolen bases were much a bigger part of baseball.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you're drawing a link between those two things is huge, because nothing draws or drives home how the game has changed more than looking at these statistics.
Yeah.
The 1992 Brewers, home run leaders, Paul Molitor with 23. Daryl Hamilton with 12. Pat Listash with Greg Vaughn with 23. Paul Molitor with 12. Franklin Stubbs with 9. They had 82 total home runs in 1992. And last year they had 250. Now we flip over to stolen bases. And in 1992, the three team leaders for stolen bases were Pat Listash at 54. Daryl Hamilton at 41 and Paul Molitor at 31. They had 256 total stolen bases that year. Yeah. Last year, the Brewers had 101. So basically, home runs and stolen bases flip places. And you kind of can see how the game went from the small ball, manufacturing runs, guys needing to hit in big spots and kind of, you know, bunting guys over, manufacturing, all that stuff kind of has gone away and been replaced by home runs.
Yeah, it's really something. And just to focus in on a couple guys like Pat Listash, okay, he's a rookie of the year in 1992. He steals 55 or 56 bases. Did I have that right? 54 bases.
Yep.
You know, he hits 290. His on-base percentage, 352. He's a leadoff hitter and, again, rookie of the year. And you're thinking, oh, my God, here we go. And then he's never heard from again. No, actually, he stayed in Milwaukee all the way through 96. And he hit 296 in 1994 with a 333.
He was never the same again.
But he seemed like he was never the same. Now in 94, actually, you know what? Forget what I said about 94 because he only played in 16 games. That's what you get for reading stats live on the podcast. But, you know, so it wasn't a real sample size. But, yeah, he was never heard from again. So he was a one and done. But that was the thing, right? They had guys like that in 92. Scott Fletcher, who we had mentioned before, Cal Eldred, probably what had his best season, even though he pitched for a long time, but he was fantastic as a rookie as well on the pitching side of things. And Chris Bosio and Bill Wegman. I mean,
that's exactly it.
Jamie Navarro was pretty good as a pitcher.
Had,
right?
They had guys all over the place, but every one of these names is recognizable for like Brewer fans. Every guy you just said is practically a Brewer legend. I mean, if they're not, you got guys like rookies. Let's just look at the rookies on this team. Dave Nielsen, John Jaha, Pat Listash, Jose Valentin. He was his major league debut that year. He ended up finishing ninth in rookie of the year voting in 1994. You had, what other young guys did you have on this team? You look at the pitching staff.
Well, Greg Vaughn was still pretty young, too, and he was a big disappointment in 92. He only hit 228. He did have 23 home runs.
Yep.
Vaughn, but I just remember him struggling badly, you know, at the plate.
That was his fourth year as a Brewer out of 7.5 total, and he ended up going to San Diego in 96 for – I don't even remember who we got for yeah. Greg Vaughn.
Yeah, I mean, he was better in the subsequent years. He made the All-Star team at least once, I remember, you know, as the Brewers' lone representative. But he did make the All-Star team. You know, Kevin Seitzer on that team, who was really good, 270 batting average.
Yeah,
is a good memory, Kevin Seitzer playing third base, as I remember, too.
He has a weird story, too. He was signed as a free agent by the Crew in 92. He was granted free agency, was signed as a free agent in 93, granted free agency, signed in 94 as a free agent, and then again in 95. And the Brewers were like, all right, enough of this. We're going to trade you to Cleveland in 96, and that's how they got Burnett. So just an interesting way to kind of get to the Indians, I guess.
Yeah, well, it is. And look, I mean, it goes to show you a lot about Milwaukee, I think, a lot of times where some of these guys, you know, still not going to sign the mega free agent, but a lot of these guys do love to play in Milwaukee. It was true even then, even at County Stadium, even when the fan support wasn't as good back. You know, again, another side story about 92 is that the fans weren't all that great, I didn't think. That's my memory. I guess I should see what they drew. I haven't even looked at that attendance stat. But I just remember empty stands all the way until the final weekend, or just as a blip when Yount was getting his 3,000th hit, then they filled the stadium that week. But other than that, there was apathy because the Brewers were contending, but they weren't really making a bunch of news. But, man, they were a fun team to listen to in my case because they played so hard. They're scrap iron. They stole the bases. Had enough pitching. You know, and here's Paul Molitor, who I wanted to chat about, too, in that year. He hits 320, 389 on-base percentage. You mentioned the 31 stolen bases. Was 92 his best season as a Brewer? Was it top handful here? Because, you know, he's gone after that. He went to Toronto the next year.
That's a good question. With Molitor, I mean, if you look at his numbers, I think the thing that impresses anybody, if you just kind of get his – go to Baseball Reference, get his career stats up on your full screen, and just sit back and look at all the numbers. It's crazy.
Such a great hitter. Just unbelievable. Oh, man. If he'd only stayed healthy. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you know, if he stayed healthy. So what you're kind of asking is, where does 92 rank in his seasons? And, you know, you look at 195 hits that year. I almost had 200 hits. And you look at 91 and 93, he led the majors in the year's bookending 92. 216 hits in 91, 211 in 1993. If you compare 1992 to the 5 years before it, he hit 320 in 92. He had 319 in the 5 years before it. His on-base percentage in 92 was 389. The 5 years before it was 390. His slugging was 461 in 92, and the 5 years before it was 479. If you look at the OPS plus and compare those two time spans, 92 versus the 5 years before it, they're both 140. And so the only conclusion you can make is that Molitor was really good and consistently so.
He was, and obviously a Hall of Famer. And finished his career so strong, you know, with Toronto and Minnesota. But he had, you know, I'm looking at his games played as well, and he was healthy toward this time frame. You know, starting in 88, he played over 150 games in, what, four of his final five seasons in Milwaukee. And so that, obviously that's health, right? And so he was able to, they were able to use him as DH.
All-star. I think he was all-star 4 out of the 5 years.
Yeah, he was just so tremendous. So, anyway, recognizing his last season there in Milwaukee, it was just fantastic, and he does go down as, you know, on the Mount Rushmore, right, of Brewers. I mean, he just has to. He was just such a great player, no matter how bitter fans might have been that he left. But, you know, come on. What's going to happen? I mean,
interestingly enough, I'm running a big bracket where we put all 64 Brewers that were kind of voted in last year into this bracket, and we're trying to figure out who the fans' favorite Brewer is, you know, the fans' choice. And Molitor just got beat going into the Final Four by Braun. Braun ousted him 51% to 49.
Oh, really? I mean, there's a recency bias there too, though, right?
For sure.
Like, Molitor's a better hitter than Ryan Braun. And I'm saying something, because Braun's been pretty good. But Paul Molitor, I mean, come on, right? He is a
Molitor's
a Hall
of Famer.
Yeah, exactly. There's a difference.
I mean, that's all you got to say. You talked about, too, how he played after he left Milwaukee. And he had a little bit of a dip in Minnesota, you could argue. But, man, he sure turned it on at the end of his career. Those 3 years in Toronto, you just kind of look at his progression of his OPS plus. It was 125 in Milwaukee, 104 in Minnesota, and then up to 128 in Toronto. He hit 315 in Toronto. His on-base percentage over those 3 years was 387. I mean, the guy was just a machine.
He was, yeah. Speaking of Toronto, another highlight from that 92 season was when the Brewers banged out 31 hits. Remember that? In a late August game, and they beat – what was the score of that game? I'd have to look it up again, but it was like 22-2. It was crazy. They just – they scored over 20 runs.
20,
just,
was it?
Yeah, they pounded. And that was, again, against the Blue Jays, who won 96 games and won the World Series. But it just goes to show you how hot that team got for the Brewers down the stretch last year. And I think Toronto was the best team in baseball. You know, they won back-to-back World Series, so I wouldn't have bet against them. But in today's playoff format – wow, I would have loved to have seen this Brewers team make the playoffs, you know, make the playoffs and see what could have happened.
Let's talk real quick about the 92 Blue Jays pitching staff.
Yeah.
Jack Morris, Jimmy Key, Juan Guzman, Todd Stottlemyre, and David Cone.
Yeah, right.
Have you heard of those guys?
Yeah, every single one of them. They were really good.
Lord.
Yeah.
The Brewers, though, you're right. I mean, 136. They ended up on the plus side of the run differential at the end of 92. I mean, they could score runs, and they did it in bunches. It was just an exciting team to watch. You talk about that outfield, too. You've got Greg Vaughn, Robin Yount, Dante Bichette, and Darrell Hamilton. I mean, it's kind of the model that they're going into 2020 or whenever baseball comes back. It's kind of the model they're using with this current team.
And by the way, Darrell Hamilton hits 298, steals 41 bases. I mean, he was fun to watch. I really like, you know, Darrell Hamilton was fun to watch. He was a good player. And
consistently underrated.
Yeah, and they just had a lot of good players on this team. I hate to gush. I don't hate to gush. I love this season, right? This was so much fun.
Yeah, let it out, Ben.
It's kind of on an island there because it was after 87, you know. I mean, they were in first place for a while, as I remember, in 91, but they faded, and then 92, nobody expected anything from them. It's after they had fired Tom Treblehorn. And Scrap Iron comes in and has his best season. He got the most mileage out of anybody out of that 92 season because he lasted however many more years in Milwaukee, you know, and never had a winning season again. So it was fun. It was just a fun year, and I'll never forget it. And because it's your first, right? It's your first time just falling in love with the team and going through it. And it was a lot of fun. I for me, it definitely rivals the accomplishments of that 87 team streak.
Right.
Because don't forget another great moment in 1992, Robin Yount gets his 3,000th hit at County Stadium against the Indians in a game they lost. Ugh. They had the lead and they blew it in a pennant race.
Well, you know, I mean, you look at 92, we were talking about this before we started recording, and I think this was the most fun I've had doing research for one of these segments because, I mean, just to list off the names, Franklin, Stubbs, Kevin Seitzer, Scotty Fletcher, Greg Vaughn, BJ Surhoff.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're all here. And
you
throw in the guys like Tim McIntosh and, then Gantner was still on the team. Billy Spires was on the team.
Yeah, Billy Spires,
The names don't stop.
Yeah, no, they don't. They don't. Even Dan Plesac was still on that team.
Sad part, though, is Bruce Ruffin, not Bruce Ruffin himself. He had a 12-year career, and, you know, he's a great man. I ended up 60-82 career, but we had to trade Dale Swaim to get him.
Yeah, they don't all work out there, Dr. Scott. They don't all work out. Anyway, it's been fun to reminisce. We've gone on. I knew this would go long because I can't help it. I loved it. I just loved it. It was so much fun.
Thank you.
We've gone on long enough, but thank you for reminiscing. I'll probably have more about the 92 Brewers this week because what the hell? I mean, what are we talking about here?
Yeah.
We're all quarantined forever. They're talking about making a grapefruit and cactus league as your Major League Baseball this year, which is fine. I don't care as long as they play, but let's just – We'll touch on that later. But the point is, we can reminisce. I've got time to reminisce about 92, and damn it, that's what I'm going to do. So, Dr. Scott.
You are locked on, Ben. Don't forget it.
Exactly. I'm locked in. I'm locked into scrap iron and the whole thing. Anyway, I appreciate it. Thanks. We'll catch up. I don't know what season we'll pick next week, but we'll figure something out. Thanks,
Sounds
Dr.
Good.
Scott.
Thank you.
And you can find Dr. Scott, as always, at @brew_maths on Twitter, @brew_maths on Twitter, and also brewmaths.com. So check out all of his work there. Always a good follow. He'll probably have some additional stats to tweet out here that you can catch on the 1992 Milwaukee Brewers. Greatest season in franchise history. All right, maybe not the greatest, but my greatest to a certain extent. Again, I can't sit here and justify the thought that it's better than any of the playoff seasons or even 1987 for that matter, but it was fun. It was a great year, and I'll always remember it for sure. Very fond in my heart. And so, since it's my podcast, yeah, there you go. You can always check us out on Twitter @LockdownBrewers, also @CheeseheadTalks, my personal handle, and at facebook.com/LockdownBrewers. Check out the podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Play, Google Play. You know the drill. Tell a friend about Lockdown Brewers. And until next time, I'm Ben Larson. Check out Lockdown MLB as well with Sully. And we'll get you through the break, hopefully, however long it lasts, until we have baseball again. We'll talk to you again when we deliver your Brewers fix right here on Lockdown Brewers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.